AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel turner.
Hello and welcome to episode 11, season 12 of the Fighting Cop podcast. And it's fucking North London Derby week. Rick, and I'm joined by T and Rick. I'm presuming you boys are okay, but before finding out about your mental well-being or your physical well-being, I just want to say, after all these years, I've never been more uncomfortable calling it a North London Derby than I am right now. This is just the game where we play them. But the North London Derby gives them relevance. It gives them a platform. I don't think we should give it that. We shouldn't give them that platform. This is we're the North London club. We're the club that existed and has always existed pretty much within, we just say that fucking 1,000 metres of where we are now, probably less. They're the ones, they're the cunts that moved around. They're the ones that turned up on our doorstep, taking our women and our jobs and that. Rick, it shouldn't be called the North London Derby. It gives them
what should
much.
We call it?
Just the game we play Arsenal.
Just refer to it as the game.
That game.
Just the game. But like even, they're on the game.
Yeah, but Rick.
Even, a bunch of hoo-ahs.
even saying that game gives them relevance. It's not that. It's the game we play them. And even that is I'm not comfortable. I don't want to give them anything. They don't deserve it. They do not deserve our attention or our time. And we have to give it that. Give them that because they've come over to our turf and done what they've done. And they're proud about it. You know, they're the same Arsenal fans that are proud about taking the man who should not be named. You know, they're just a weird bunch of folk that we give too much gravitas to.
Worms.
To get what? Worms. Worms.
They are worms.
Spurs versus worms is what we should call it.
I like that.
T, what, do you agree with what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think we're in a society now where we're just lazy and just use shorthand. I don't know. Maybe calling it the game wouldn't be so bad. But the thing is, every now and then I kind of forget how much I hate them. And then it comes back around again as to, you know, why I do hate them. I mean, I'm going to be sensible and censor myself on what I say today because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But I've said to you guys offline how I truly feel about them and what really makes me happy. Things that I see that
stamping on
make
a kid.
Me happy.
Stamping on a kid.
More like floral tributes of an Arsenal.
Let's leave it there.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just we didn't go too in there. I mean, look, growing up in North London and around them and having to exist with them makes this game what it is, because it's nothing about what they do on the pitch. It's nothing about that. It's about the stench that they infest us with. And that's the issue. Like, as soon as you meet a bloke who supports Arsenal, you think, you're a dickhead. That's what you think. Like, we went to John Bass's wedding last week, and befriended a lot of his mates from where they live, and they're all solid gold blokes, all of them, none of them Arsenal, all gold, right? But I keep getting recommendations of who I should follow, and then there's these fucking spanners in Arsenal shirts all smiling. There was one with a bloke in an Arsenal shirt and his missus in an Arsenal shirt. I'm like, who are these pair of right angles? I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. I see an Arsenal shirt. I see a man in an Arsenal shirt, and you just think, you're a fucking pleb. And that is, it doesn't matter what happens at the weekend. They're all plebs. They're weird.
I was listening to, I think it was your other podcast, Flav, the Flav and James For Now pod, yeah. And you were talking about that, obviously, when we used to record at your old man's old house, and literally the corner of the street, you could see the Emirates, massive Guna territory. Yeah. And when you were explaining where it was, that the both the schools that you went to and where you grew up and stuff like that, I was listening to that, and that was even turning my stomach. I'm born and bred Milton Keynes. My two best mates from here, Gooners, season ticket holders there. And every time, it's been a struggle, like the only one, and there's a lot of Arsenal around there. And it's a struggle going out to pubs and watching the games and all that lot. But from how you were explaining it, it was like...
Yeah, but what I said
it's
was...
It's just awful.
It was awful. It was awful because when you're growing up and you don't realise what's around you, you don't realise the meaning behind all of this. You don't realise when you're growing up in Holloway and there's these rats around you and they're all nipping at your heels, why they are doing it. You just feel like, oh, I've just got to cope with this because there are rats everywhere and I've got to go to school and there's rats there and I've got to walk around and get my lunch and there's rats there as well. So you just deal with it. And it's only getting older and I realise, actually, I didn't have to deal with it. If they hadn't invaded our area, if they hadn't come over and done what they did, then I wouldn't have to deal with that. And the fact that I did have to deal with that from fucking, I would say when I started going football was 1988, maybe 89, which was a glorious period for Spurs. But into the 90s and 2000s, it weren't so good. And Arsenal were better and did do some good stuff. And I had to exist around them. And like I said on the podcast you just mentioned, Jim, it's the one to do with James, is there's nothing they can do. There's no result that they can have over us that I haven't experienced already. So there's nothing they can do or say anymore that will hurt me. And the fact that Spurs are a different football club to we were back then, it's all fucking gravy. I think I couldn't give a fuck about a single opinion that an Arsenal fan has. Anyway, we're going to talk more about the North London Derby coming up, or the game that we play against Arsenal. Very shortly. But before we do that, we've got to mention the fact that we're doing a Fighting Cock Social. It's back this Saturday against them at the Temple Brew House. There are very few tickets left. I'd say 60, maybe. So if you have any inclination to come along to the social in Temple Brew House, then do so. But be quick. Go to our pinned tweet on Twitter, and you'll find the link where you have to buy it. If you haven't done that in time or it sells out, there's nothing we can do. It's a capacity of 200 people and no more can be let in. It's just not... There's health and safety shit involved, so you just cannot get in. So buy your tickets right now and it'll be a great thing. Win, lose or draw, we'll be there together. And it'll be superb.
Lovely.
Yeah,
I think with the socials, this one is, although it's a shit, it's a horrible game. It's always a horrible game, whatever. Mm. It's just that much better when you're with fellow Tottenham fans and people that you love. And it's just, because like you're saying, it doesn't matter what the result is, that you're just there to experience it together. And after the game, when you're not there and like you're just at home and just wallowing in your own kind of WhatsApp groups where people are messaging you, you don't have to deal with it there.
Yeah.
You just go and get another pint with the boys and carry on singing Tottenham songs and just forget about it. It's fine.
It's an amazing thing. It's amazing, amazing thing. It is so much fun to and if we win, like imagine being in it. Like, and this is the part of the reason why we set up the socials in the first place is that you don't want to be around other fans. You don't want to be around other fans when Spurs win or worse, Spurs lose. You just don't want to hear it. But what this is a safe place for Tottenham Hotspur fans. It'll be loud. The atmosphere will be amazing. I don't even know why I'm selling this too much because the tickets are flying out already. I mean, fingers crossed, by the time this comes out, there will be some available. But yeah, crack on, get involved, and tell your mates. There's lots coming up in this podcast. We're talking about the Scum game, obviously, this weekend, and our preferred lineup and formation, cats shitting in the house, and scoring a last-minute winner at the Swamp. But before we do that, we need to give a shout-out to our sponsors, NordVPN, who, as I said last week, are agreeing to sponsor us towards the end of the season. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing and makes things so much easier. Rick, have you ever run out of porn, Rick? Because have you ever felt like I've done all this?
I have. Yeah, completed it. On page 17 just trying to get twins. Really,
I've gone beyond page 17. I've gone 48. I think I've gone 48, 49, and then it gets to a point where it's not fun anymore, and you're just there, and you're sitting on your stool, and you're looking at the screen, and you think, and your dick is, it's flaccid. To be technically correct, and just like nothing does it for me anymore. This isn't what NordVPN was designed for, but it's the greatest element to it is that you can access all kinds of mad shit all over the world by using NordVPN for the price of a cup of coffee.
The thing with porn is that you always feel like you've completed it, but then there's always someone who just goes viral who ends up being like, there was this French dentist who got arrested for mutilating people from poor areas.
What the fuck? So, where is this going to?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So they're arresting this dentist, right? And there's obviously pictures all over the press, the French press. And one of the police women had this massive ass.
Really massive ass,
right?
I think I know this one, yeah.
Yeah, so people are like, oh, that's photoshopped. So then the video comes out, right? And it's the real deal. I mean, don't know if her bum's real, but it's the real deal. And I'm sure she's not far off having an OnlyFans. And I'm just saying that these things pop up on the internet where you watch a bit of porn, but then you see someone who's a real-life human being. I mean, I know adult film stars are human beings too, but just getting like a civilian.
Yeah, civilian.
Who's within the sphere of having a wank. You know, it's interesting.
I mean, it is interesting. There's also, it just feels like, you don't know what's coming up. You've got to keep on your toes. And what I would say to everybody listening to this, you've always got to be on your toes, and that might be for job opportunities, or you know, Sandra at work is leaving, and she's found new ways to make money, and you're thinking that's an opportunity. This is the same thing with NordVPN. You can be ready when something drops on the internet. You're there. Also, the most important thing I think, and this is moving away from adult material, is the fact that. It's becoming increasingly important for you guys to have protection when you're using your internet banking. NordVPN protects you from any kind of intruder who wants to get in and up in your gubbins.
And also, with the pound weakening, you can get better flight deals by using VPN, you know, using foreign websites and getting cheaper flights. So
yes,
that's another good thing to use.
Use NordVPN to take advantage of the crisis that we're currently facing, but as a man or woman on the ground, who needs to find a way to buy cheaper tickets, use NordVPN to log into a server in Spain or Mexico, Venezuela, wherever it might be, to buy tickets or whatever it might be you want to buy from that area. It should be illegal. It isn't. I don't know if they'd like me saying that, but it kind of feels like it's a way of gaming the system constantly. And the money you're going to be putting into subscribing to NordVPN will be paid back in tenfold if you use it correctly. Yeah, all right, cool. We'll be back next week for another NordVPN read. Lock in. just to end it, is grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/thefightingcock. You have to use that one, otherwise we don't benefit. If you want to be an arsehole and enjoy what we do and, you know, don't want us to benefit, then you can just go to nordvpn.com. But if you enjoy the podcast, then please use nordvpn.com/thefightingcock. There's no risk. 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you pay for a year in advance, then you get 4 months free. Anyway, let's get on to the Arsenal game. The first question comes from Conte's Blue and White Army, Bashy_1986. It says, do you wake up dreading the game on the day or excited? Me personally, I dread it. Rick, are you dread or excited?
Dread. There's only been a few times where I have woken up and I'm thinking, we're the ones flying high. They're the ones.
It didn't even work out then. Mire, though,
and it didn't even work out then. So, and it's at the Emirates as well. So we haven't got we haven't got a great record. We haven't even got a shit record there. It's even worse than that. So it doesn't fill me with much hope, but there's always a chance. There is always a chance. And if kind of, Band of Brothers, do you remember Blythe, Flav?
Yeah,
the soldier that was really scared and he couldn't operate because he was so paralyzed by fear.
He got paralyzed by fear and he went blind, right?
Yeah, and then Spears, the captain, said, like, you can only operate as a soldier if you just give in to the fact that you're already dead. Just you know, you're already dead. And with this game, I kind of give in that we're already dead, and anything that comes out of it is going to feel like we're alive, like we are. We're there, we're having it. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, personally, if someone offered me a draw now, yeah, I'll take it. Yes, please. But if we win.
Oh, well, what if we win? Because, Rick, just on that.
A midday win as well.
In Band of Brothers, what does Lieutenant Spears do? What's he famous for?
He ran through the village, didn't he?
Germans are like entrenched. They've got the machine guns and they're pointing at the American soldiers. And what did Lieutenant Spears do?
He ran straight through them, straight through their lines to the other side of the village to link up with the other American soldiers. Yeah. And he thought he'd just stay there. Nah, he ran back through them.
And what did the German soldiers do?
They fucking shit themselves. Thought, what's going on here?
Look at this man.
What's he doing?
What's he up to? What's a nutter? And that's the kind of thing we've got to expect.
Romero?
It could be. or moreover, Richarlison, I think. But we're going to talk about that. But but generally, like, T, where are you mentally about it? Do you wake up in the morning thinking this Spurs Arsenal this Saturday, or do you think this is just another game? Because you're like a good 15 years older than us, so you've lived through a lot.
I'm not.
I love that.
I have to point out because people fucking think I am. It's a very strange one because I'm in a position now where I've got enough to do during the day that I'm not preoccupied by the game. Mm. But it never feels we play well enough. Even the games that we've won, I never feel that from the opening minutes. I never feel that we've played well. And on Saturday, regardless of what happens, I still feel the nerves that we've not done well. It's just, I don't know. I mean, God, this sounds so weak, as Andrew Tate would say. But it's almost like they're giants when we play them. You know, the white sleeves, and they look like men, and we look like fucking little boys, and we play like little boys sometimes. But
yeah, you mean when we go to their place?
Yeah, yeah. And you would hope that Conte has got something for them, but I think the international break has kind of lessened it a little bit because it's only really a 2-3 day build up now. I mean, if it was an international break, we'd have all week to think about the game and mentally prepare ourselves. But I don't feel dread. I just really, really hope that this is such an obvious thing. I really hope that we just put in a fucking performance, man. I mean, the Nuno game, I think it was a year ago, earlier on this week, when that game took place. And
if you remember it rightly, sorry T to cut you, but if you remember that we had opportunities in that game. They went 3-0 up, and we could have pegged them back. We had a penalty and a goal disallowed that we should have got. But
so I didn't see all this, I'd left.
It was hellish. It's just turning up and performing and making it a 50-50 game, which it is. And not just sort of saying, like, well, Arsenal are going to dominate possession. That's my issue, T. Sorry, mate, for cutting you.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's just one of those. I think all the Spurs fans want is for us to turn up and obviously win. But all they want is for us to turn up and put in a performance. And even if they, I mean, it's like Alex likes to say, you know, at least get a few yellow cards in there, you know, put a few studs up the Achilles, man. You know what I mean? Just let them know that they've been in the game. We can't just... having them win 2-0 or 2-1 without their shirts being dirty, you know.
If you had to pick a single Arsenal player for Højbjerg, if they could jump in, double footed jump, broken leg tackle, he's done. Who would it
just
be?
Just one.
Who's the Arsenal?
I can think of about six or seven.
No. I appreciate it, but which one would you want to really, really like be on the end of a Roy Keane, Haaland type?
It's Partey tackle. Or Saliba.
Saliba is the one, isn't it?
I think I'd do Saliba because
they are noshing him off.
Props. Yeah, they are noshing him off way too much. Proper sloppy, like saliva all over the shot, man. I'm not having this. No, double-ended as well. Yeah, Saliba.
Arsenal fans are just, they're on their knees. Their eyes are watering. There's snot coming out their nose. They're being skull-fucked by Saliba.
even their ears are bleeding and they're still going.
Yeah. I love this. This is good. I can't hear anymore because my eardrums are fucking blown by Saliba's cock. But now, you know, because he's good at football, apparently. I've got to confess, boys, I've not watched a single minute of Arsenal this season.
Nor have I.
I feel like I have. I can't remember the game.
But part of the reason is that because they are, you got to admit that they are good, right? They have been good this season. It's not a seismic shift from what happened towards the end of last season where we actually destroyed them at White Hart Lane. But in the games that have been played this season, you have to admit they are top of the league. Are you worried? What do you make of Arsenal? If you took your Spurs hat off, Ricky, and this is a horrible question to ask you, but if you took your Spurs hat off, what do you make of, if it was Spurs, it would have done what they've done thus far?
Yeah, I mean, taking my Tottenham hat off, and like you were saying, admittedly, I haven't seen them play, but that was a bit of a lie from me. When they went 2-1 down against United, I quickly stuck the telly on just to have a little bit of a giggle, but I weren't really watching how they were playing. And from the reports, match of the day, everything else that you hear, that they're playing good attacking football, things are clicking for them. Jesus has been the missing piece of the puzzle. They're playing at home and they're top of the league. So the crowd are going to be behind them. So you can't help. I can't sit here and say we're the better team because they're top of the league.
We'll be top of the league.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing as well. The amount of times that we've gone there and we've not turned up, or we have turned up and we've still lost. Going there this weekend, and if we did win there, and us then going top of the league, it's just too much. Like the football gods will not give us present. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, like if you've got the football gods, then Conte is Lucifer.
Oh shit! I like that. You know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck the football gods. Like, fuck that Tottenham are a team that doesn't win anything. We've got a man who wins. And you saw Kulusevski's comments in the week saying, you can't be not affected or infected by what Conte says. This man lives and breathes victory. Lives and breathes success. That's the mentality, isn't it? That's the mentality. Like, not that weird physio that was under Jose Mourinho. This is the mentality that was led and created by Conte.
And going back to what T was saying, we were like Nuno had won Manager of the Month. I think we were flying high. I think my expectations going there, I thought we would do something there. But the way and the manner in which we lost, it was a total collapse against them. I just want us to turn up. And then going on what you're saying, we have Conte, you know, and we do know how to defend as a unit to keep teams at bay. We know how to then counter on those and transition quickly. And we have, you know, a world-class attack to put the ball in the back of the net. So it does make up to be a very interesting and entertaining game. And I think, you know, it's hard to say that they're there for the taking, but there's going to be opportunities, and whether we are ruthless enough to take those opportunities that we get and then hold on, we'll live to see that on Saturday, I expect.
Yeah, indeed. We spoke yesterday about how we might set up, on the last podcast, about how we might set up. Some of us were hoping that we would stick with a 3-5-2 that we demolished Leicester with in the last 30 minutes of the last game. You know, Mark Nesbitt, who was on the podcast last week, and Jack said that he thinks he'll go back to a 3-4-3. But T, what do you think we what do you think we will do, and then what do you think we should do?
I don't expect Conte to veer from a 3-4-3 formation, to be fair. But it has shown that we have the personnel to execute a 3-5-2. So it shows, even if within the game we get an overrun in midfield again, we can bring Bissouma or Skip on to even up the numbers. I don't know. I think it's one of those where if plan A doesn't work, you improve plan A and don't go to plan B. That's what Pochettino was famous for. That's what Guardiola is famous for. And even Klopp, they've got their system. They've got faith in it and it's effective. So I don't expect Conte to change it. And I don't know. I feel like I've drunk the Conte Kool-Aid and whatever he does is good enough for me.
Yeah, but if like what I predict might happen is that he will definitely start with a 3-4-3, and we will look like we have been this season, despite the fact that we're one of only two teams in the Premier League not to lose a game. It will become overawed or overpowered or whatever it might be, overmanned in midfield, and Arsenal will control the game. And it'll come to the point where we do switch formation. That's what I think might happen. I do trust him. I do whatever he wants. I'd if Conte chooses a 3-4-3, and like you say, I'm sure he will, and we lose the game, like whatever, it doesn't matter, because there's a bigger plan affronted. There's other things going on, and a kind of idea about where Spurs will be in the future, and this single. This game in itself doesn't, you know, dictate or impact where we're going to be in a year's time. But you can understand the frustrations, Rick, that some Spurs fans might have when you see us playing a 3-5-2, not just this season, last season under Conte, and as a system that he won the league handsomely with Inter Milan, that maybe that is the best situation or the best sort of formation for us.
Yeah, I mean, I agree what T was saying, that Conte has faith in his system and he'll probably stick with 3-4-3. It's a nice thing to have a plan B or to switch it if something isn't quite working. The one thing that does worry me with 3-5-2 is that the two is going to be Sonny and Kane. But where does Kulusevski fit? Like, will he become like this auxiliary right wing back and it won't be Royal? Because Kulusevski, he has to play.
I think
he has to play. And if we do go with three in the middle, I think it's going to be like the three workmen of Basuma, Højbjerg,
yeah,
Bentancur.
Okay, so imagine that it is a 3-5-2. Let's build our first 11 if we are going to do that. Let's build our first 11.
Does anyone? I haven't. Lloris was pulled from the front from the French squad, Bernie. So he hasn't been. Yeah. Do we know if he's actually all right yet? If he's been training or?
I have no idea.
So I Google it right now.
Because it might be Forster.
Oh, Fraser Forster, big man. What's he got? Big hands like a frying pan. Big man.
It always surprises me, and I love it. It's just such a little joyous song that I just nod my head to.
Fraser Forster, big man. What's he got? Big hands like a frying pan. Big man. He must have, like, when that happened, he must have thought, what? I've googled is Hugo Lloris, and it is Spurs lining up a move for Oblak, Jan Oblak from Atletico Madrid, who Conte, apparently, if you believe what you read in the press, Conte is planning for a future without Lloris, which means he is planning to stay forever. Anyway, I haven't heard that, Rick.
So we'll just go with Lloris in goal then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we're going for a back three, we're going like our best back three. Would you say Longley or Davies?
I don't know if Davies is still injured.
So Longley, right?
So yeah, Longley, Darwin Romero.
Longley, indeed. No room for Sanchez above Romero?
No.
I know you'd be punching walls if you saw him start Fleff.
Fair play. Right wing back.
Actually,
let's do before we do the right wing back, if we're playing a 3-5-2, then you've got three in midfield. And what is that three in midfield? Is it Bentancur? Is it Højbjerg, Skip, or do we bring Kulusevski in?
I think Skip misses out, so it'd probably be Højbjerg, Bentancur and Basuma.
So no room for Kulusevski?
No, unless he's a wing back.
What do you think, Rick?
I don't know. I fucking really don't know. I'm kind of like, if we do have that three in the middle, that is Højbjerg and Bentancur, but Kulusevski is in there too, but he's like just behind Kane and Son.
Yeah.
It's more like a...
It's almost like a...
A diamond.
What Hoddle used to do, which is three at the back, wing backs, and then you have two in midfield and a number 10 with two attackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where Kulusevski has to play in the game.
Can you imagine a world where us three are sitting in a room with Antonio Conte, and we've got a tactics board laid out in front of us, and then we're saying to him, right, I appreciate you've done incredibly well, Conte. You've done really well in your career. Brilliant. You've done brilliantly for Spurs as well, but we just want to recommend a tactic for you. Have you ever thought about it? At no point in your team, you're in a team of 10 fucking tacticians and nutritionists, have you never thought about doing a little Christmas tree formation?
I mean, Terry Venables, brilliant for him, you know what I mean? He's got to do it. Give it a go.
Yeah, so all right, so there's a midfield of, if we're playing the 3-5-2, you've got a midfield of Højbjerg, Bentancur, and who was fantastic when that system changed. And it was in part to Leicester being shit in moments of important decision, but that's why games are won. But yeah, they were shit in that moment. So you got those three players, and then up top you got Perisic on the left, Emerson Royal or Kulusevski or Matt Doherty, whoever it might be. And up top you got Son and Kane, right?
Yeah, the concern of Perisic is that he's not a very good one-on-one defender. And, you know, that could... He might get exposed a bit against Arsenal. So, but I think his experience and his quality on set pieces may see him start. But the argument falls in its face a little bit when Sessegnon dropped a bollock with the second goal last week against Leicester, but or the week before.
Yeah, but it's a header, though. It's like a 50-50 header. Those things happen. But certainly...
Yeah, but he lost a flat of the ball, didn't he? And Albrighton got past him and set up Maddison. But, I mean, these things happen, but I think Conte may look at one-on-one defenders more than people who can go forward, because it's a shitty thing to say, but I don't think Conte... I don't think it's a disaster if you don't win, obviously if you don't lose, but maybe he'll just look to contain them for an hour and then bring out the big dogs with half an hour left.
Well, like, does anyone... I remember seeing in the National, Huibier injured Perisic.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
But, and I don't know if Perisic is all right if he played another game after that. I don't know what the crack is for that. So it could be Cesc that comes in. I don't know.
Perisic's delivery on the ball this season has been unreal.
That's ridiculous.
He may be limited in certain ways because of his age, and you know, we expected it. I sort of expected him to be a little bit more all action than he is, because I'd never really watched him before. I haven't seen him play England versus Croatia, and I think at Dortmund I saw him play there, but I didn't really know much about him. I just, when we signed him, was like, yeah, brilliant, Perisic, obviously he's amazing. But his delivery is unreal. Like, if we get an opportunity, if you give him 5 meters of space, he will, or 5 feet of space rather, he will deliver a ball on the nutter, Kane, whoever it might be. Same with Kulusevski as well. So he's been insane. And I think if he does play and we just give him the ball, and he gets that moment, then that's where our goals are scored. I don't know. Anyway, I've got
a question for you boys, actually, speaking about. Who are you most fearful of in the Gunner team? Who's it, the one that you think, oh, for fuck's sake, they're playing?
Go on, Saka and probably Jesus. Saka was missing against at Wild Hart Lane, but he had a really good game when he played at the Emirates, and he came on for England and did rather well against Germany, so his tail will be up. So, the thing is, Jesus, he's suddenly become this. People are in him like he's Ronaldo R9. he's not all that, but I've just got visions of his muggy face celebrating in front of their fans. And
yeah,
I think those two in the main. I feel like I'm forgetting someone, but those two.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't watched them this season at all. Because, like, you know, they've been good, and they are top of the league. But the sort of thing that's been seeping through is Gabriel Jesus and how good he is. Although Richarlison is playing above him for Brazil, so fuck him. I don't know. I don't want to answer the question because I don't want to talk it into reality. I just don't.
No, that's fine.
got a question from Paul. He says, if you had either Richarlison or Romero to score a last-minute winner and get sent off for a second yellow card in the process of celebrating, who are you going for? Richarlison all day, boys. Come on.
Richarlison.
Yeah, Richie.
It's got to be him.
If we're playing a 3-4-3 and you've got the front three of Kulusevski, Kane, Son, or Richarlison, what are you doing, Rick?
Sorry, say that again, mate.
Well, if you're playing a front three and your choices of our four forwards, no, I mean, Richarlison could really get under the skins of the Arsenal fans. Who would you play? What would your front three play if we're playing a 3-4-3?
I will have to go with what we've been playing for the majority of Son, Kane, and Kulusevski.
But what about Richarlison's, like, the impact that Richarlison might have?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I'm not a manager, am I?
Like, no, I know. I'm just asking if you was the manager. If Ricky Figo walked out... I've done it. No, if Ricky walked out to the... You know, imagine that, like, bowled out and he's, like, all togged up. If it was you there, like, you had to choose it, what would you do?
I'd go with the... Richarlison would be the impact player off the bench.
What if Richarlison came up to you and sort of walked up to you, to your ear, and went, "Proo, proo."
And if he's doing the bird kind of, like, yeah, then I would probably say, no, you do deserve it, mate. You've made me laugh. go and grab a shirt, lad. Go on.
They'd lock him in there.
Any other counter argument that you got there, T?
No, I think Kulusevski has to start. I mean, we've been bored by the news that it's going to be made permanent. And
what was that news? I didn't put that in a running order, but yeah.
I think it's just we're going to activate the clause, which would make him our player permanently.
If he needs to play 20 games in the Premier League, and Spurs have to qualify for the Champions League at the end of the season, and then we must pay €35 million, or there is some other predetermined price that we have to pay.
No, it works for me.
He's mustard, isn't he?
He really is. And I don't know if Ricky, you were at the Brighton game. Remember the FA Cup game, which was their debut? And I think they both came on as subs, and I wasn't fond of Kulusevski at all. He reminded me of Chadli, looked a little bit ungainly.
Yeah.
And I loved Bentancur. No, it's just the other way around.
What do you make of Bentancur now?
He's a mixed bag. God, I've not been in the pod for ages, but I feel like I say this a lot, that he's a very slow starter in games. And it feels like he grows into games after a while. But it was kind of telling what Eric Dier said after the Leicester game, that when Bentancur plays well, the team plays well. So he's, I guess he's like an Aldi Moussa Dembele in a way. But
Modric.
Well, yeah, that too.
But he's that kind of player, isn't he? He is the Dembele. He doesn't have the carrying ability that Dembele does, and he doesn't have the mind that Modric does, but he is in that bracket, not as good as them two. Hopefully we'll get to that stage, and he's 25 now, so he should be approaching that, but when things are flowing and when things are going well for Spurs, he is brilliant. He really is.
He's a player's player, and it's nice to have a few of those. But no, I've been impressed with Bentancur, but I think the Kulusevski impact can't be understated. I mean, I remember when we was all sat together when we played Villa away, I think we beat them 4-0, and the noises that came out of us. When you think, did he make an assist for Son?
Yeah.
Or have I got like, I've got it all the way around?
No, you got an assist and a goal, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Just the noises we made. We'll stay with me till I die.
Yeah. What kind of noise do you make when you climax? Is it glow and guttural, or is it high pitched and excited?
It's just what I do. Yeah, I go right up in the ear, and I just tell you. Like that. But just breathing. It's more breathy, you know. But you've got to clutch him around the face, right, in your mouth, right by the ear, as you jizz. You know what I mean? So they just that works wonders.
You're quite like a mouth breather.
Yeah. I've evolved from making crank phone calls to just doing it in sex.
Fair enough. Caleb Norman, he says, what is the best North London derby goal scored by the current member of the Tottenham squad? It's an obvious answer, Rick.
Yeah,
goes without saying. Tell me when Kane cut across, it was a back heel from Dele Alli into Kane's path on the left hand side of the pitch. And Kane shaped up outside of the box, and he curled in a goal that was unreal. Like, we knew Kane was good, but to do it at that moment against our greatest rivals, for him to curl it in, it ping off the post. What was it like for you, Rick, when that went in?
I think as well, like before that, it was close to it. We had just equalised, hadn't we?
Penalty, yeah.
Yeah,
within three minutes.
So coming straight off that and then going into that, it was reminiscent of
when I bummed your mum.
No.
Wasn't reminiscent of that.
I didn't like that.
You walked into the room and was like, "Whoa, well, this is good." Two people I love enjoying each other.
Now keep it safe, and then I shut the door. It was reminiscent of the feelings of when we played against the Gooners, and it was, who was it first? Bale first, and then Lennon.
Yeah, 2-1.
It was that quick succession, the old 1-2. and Kane scoring that, and then and Kane was wearing his face mask as well.
Yeah, he just tore it off. Like, fuck my broken nose.
Sprinting, like, yeah, he didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. That the noise was absolutely insane. And then seeing the reaction of Kane and everyone else, it was just, it's hard to describe. It's just, it's one of those times that you know that when you're in the stadium, it's one of those moments that live with you forever. And that feeling and that noise and everything, it's just one of those moments.
It was out of body. It was out of body.
Yeah, well, and, oh yeah, totally.
And this is like the people that are going to the game this weekend, that were lucky enough, or not just lucky enough, that put in the miles to get a ticket to this game. You're going there knowing that Spurs haven't beaten Arsenal, two times in 30 years? It's like weird. It's weird how difficult it is to go there. But if you're there and you experience that moment of destroying them, you won't forget it for the rest of your life. It will live with you forever.
Like, I'm
in a way envious, but also like being surrounded by him while if it doesn't go our way. And, you know, this is football and things don't go your way. Being surrounded by him, you're like, oh, fuck. That, I can't handle that either.
Yeah, I've had both sides. I've seen us win there and that was Damien for a long time. But the thing with their ground is that when they score, it's really, really loud and it envelopes you in the away end and it's just fucking dreadful.
Also, and what the makeup of their support, which is such a fucking... They're all helmets.
But it's like... I mean, Flav, you know I'm fond of watching videos where people get clumped. And there was, I don't know if it was at the races.
That, I did know that about you. Like, so, that's one of my favourite things about you, is you watch videos of people getting battered.
So I think there was a scrap after the races at Ascot. And this skinny kid can't have been any more than 18 years old. He was growing up against this big, massive, grown man.
Donny got slumped.
Yeah, that's what Arsenal fans are. That bloke who got slumped, they're just really, really gobby.
Yeah,
you know. And then you know the police called in bricks away. Then they'll shit themselves.
The thing is that they are so hyper right now. They're so happy.
And oh God, yeah.
It will take one single result to reduce them to tears. As a fan base, they're weak. They're a weak, weak fan base. They're not built like anybody else. I would align them with Manchester City. And the difference between them is the Manchester City have the money to win it all. But as a plastic fan base, as a plastic football club, they're the same. And that's why, like, if we don't win this weekend, and I've got all confidence that we will, if we don't, then they're just a weird plastic fan base. And it always will be. So there's nothing you don't have to explain. No, you don't have to explain how to an Arsenal fan why Arsenal are better than Spurs or whatever it might be. You have to realise the fact that they are inferior, weird little whelks. And once you appreciate that, they don't really exist.
And we may lose the battle, but we'll win the war.
I fucking hope so. No, one thing I've got to
top four.
What if we win the battle though, Rick?
Oh, mate. The battle of Alamo. Shit. Fucking hell, boy.
Battle of what?
I think,
Alamo? Alamo? No, not Alamo.
Only three of our players have ever scored against them. It's a bit sad, that. I think Son, Kane and Dyer, unless I've missed someone else.
Okay, we've got another question from Laureus Bastard. He says, would you prefer to see Spurs win the Premier League title or Arsenal be relegated? Like, so there's an obvious answer there, but really think about it, boys. Is the glory of Tottenham winning better than the fact that Arsenal will be relegated? What would make you feel better?
I'm a natural born hater, so I'd love it if they got relegated. It's never really the end of it. I'd be like, I'd just be googling like the coordinates of every championship ground. And every time they kick off, I just put on Twitter, this little subtle, just be a thread. What is it, 46 games they play in the championship? Just be like, just a thread of just coordinates of every ground that they've got to go to. Actually, be 23 because it's the away games. It would just be this biological warfare, just be mental warfare, them getting relegated. It'd be such a beautiful thing because you've got... The issue is that so many of the things I enjoy culturally as a black British man are infiltrated by Arsenal fans, whether it be... you know, grime MCs or black British actors like, you know, Kaluuya and Idris Elba, they're all gooners.
Yeah.
So seeing them unhappy would, you know, yeah, it'd be a good thing. And you know, I'd watch them. No,
you want to turn on your own people.
Yep. I watch Nope and Get Out, and you know, just be like, yeah, I know you're crying between scenes.
Yeah.
Fuck your team getting relegated.
You're a good actor, but you're a fucking dickhead fundamentally. I'm with you, T. I'm with you. And weirdly, because I'm with you, it makes me sound like I'm a fucking racist. Anyway, but they're just fucking weird. They're weird.
Day to day, like during the week when Spurs win and then Arsenal lose, which just during the league, like I do take great fucking satisfaction from when they lose.
So what are you saying?
Like,
then, Rick?
Almost when they win, but. If it's about us winning the league and them getting relegated, I have to take the league. I can't take it anymore. It's not that I can't take it anymore. I just, like, I need that. I want that moment for me and my dad.
Yeah.
I'm just being selfish, really. He's 70. And I just want to have that moment with him us, really.
No, I get it. I get it. I 100% get it. And I understand, like Spurs winning the league would be seismic. And I think it says something about me that I care less about us as a fan base feeling good than I do Arsenal fans dealing with the horror of that. Because I hate them so much that I want them to feel more pain than I'm happy. I'm happy. Generally, I'm happy. Like, whatever happens this weekend, I'm happy. I'm good. Like, I've got a wife. I've got kids. Record a podcast that people listen to. Like, I'm happy, regardless of what happens this weekend. But if Arsenal get relegated, and that makes so many of them, like all of them, so unhappy. That's too much to turn down, I think.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, I hope you die and it rains at your funeral. You know, all your family have got to walk around in the muddy grass burying you.
Chucking grenades over the trees. Yeah, what's that? What you said? You're burying someone. Boom, boom, boom.
Thunder and lightning, mate. You know what I mean?
Fucking hell. Shock and awe.
Strikes the coffin, so you've got to go inside the church while the coffin's just out there over the fucking grave.
Yeah, get in there, because it's fucking the Tottenham artillery is raining down on you. Like, fuck you. Fuck your problems.
Hate it for life.
Does this
all
hurt?
All the bad things happen to you.
Yeah, and only you. And I'll be just in the distance, just whacking one off. This is the most sexually attractive thing I've ever experienced. Like, honestly, I've said this many, many times. I hate Arsenal more than I love Tottenham, and I love Tottenham, but I hate them so much. So yeah, them getting relegated.
Hate.
I think generally a positive thing in life is hatred. Klee, he says, how would you celebrate if you scored a 90th minute winner at the Emirates? It's got to be dicks out, boys. Imagine
would be that, but do you know, remember that game where, who the fuck was it now? I think it was Watford v Leicester. Was it Leicester?
And Deeney goal.
And Deeney scored in literally the last seconds, and he sprinted over to the Watford fans and jumped in the crowd with them, was going mad. But I would do that dick out into the Arsenal lot.
Yeah. I wouldn't run to Spurs. I'd run to the centre circle and then just do helicopter. It's this flaccid, white, skinny little Willy just going round and round and round.
I just want to stop running. I'd go around the entire perimeter of the pitch, just with my arms in the air. You know, the stewards would be trying to stop me. Then I just go down the tunnel. I'd be like doing the substitute symbol to Conte. So yep, down the tunnel, stay there.
could you do the substitute signal with your Willy though? Like, if you just use one arm to flap it over.
Do it with a teammate. So it's two dicks, so you get the rotation going.
Eric Dyer and you just like flipping over each other. And Antonio Conor's going, I get it. He's done. He's had enough.
He's planned this in training all week. Execute.
Eric Dyer and Tease Willy just like a windmill going over each other. Never touching. Never once touching. Just going flying over each other. Always
like a phallic turbine.
Yeah, it's also like a, like actually British Energy, like contributing. If you could plug you and Eric Dyer, like just grab a couple of cords that were designed to generate energy from T and Eric Dyer's arseholes as they flung their willy around each other after scoring a last-minute winner against Arsenal. Mate, we'd solve the energy crisis.
You're going to have crying gooners because kids would be doing it in school to gooners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was out of order. It was out of order. Anyway, we've got a question from Jay. He says, why are shit Spurs fans disrespecting Son like how Real Madrid treated Bale? Why is Son scapegoated as playing bad when the whole team is playing shit? It's not Son's fault Conte doesn't know his fault. Jay, what's going on in your life, mate? What?
He's just very angry. I mean, you know, I'm a player hater. I'm a hater, but I'm not angry. I'm kind of calm with it, you know. I say awful things, but I'm perfectly calm. It feels like he was bashing at his keyboard. You know, I feel like maybe he had a 10,000-word essay of hatred, but I realised it's over the character limit and decided to delete back and kind of, you know, condense it. I mean,
we need to break it down a little bit though, T. Is that Spurs fans are not disrespecting Son. There may be some out there that were disrespecting Son before his hat-trick. There may be some Spurs fans out there saying maybe he should be dropped, but I don't think anyone...
And he was.
And he was, yeah. But there's no one out there saying Spurs fans... There's no Spurs fans out there treating Heung-min Son like Gareth Bale was treated. I don't think that's a fair assessment.
No. There isn't a formalised group of Spurs fans who hate Heung-min Son. There are outliers who are contrarian. I respect contrarianism, but I don't believe there's any Spurs... I don't think there's that many Spurs fans who hate Heung-min Son. I think it was the right idea to drop him. You know, ended up getting the hat-trick. You know what I mean? My famous quote is still the title of the WhatsApp group.
What did you say? Well, because I was saying bringing Son on. So we were watching this game. Spurs drawing against Leicester.
Yeah.
We weren't good. And I said, bring Son on for... Was it Richarlison? I can't remember what I said.
Yeah, it was Richarlison, yeah.
And what did you say, T?
Sonny ain't going to do shit. And you know what?
What did he do?
The formation changed and he did everything.
No. You can't... you would have said that regardless of any kind of tactical implement that Conte would have done.
It was bleak, man. It was really, really bleak.
I hated it.
Looking back, it wasn't that bleak. I just felt really dramatic in the moment. I just thought, even Sonny can't save this. And I don't know. I mean, he's had a little bit of a rap. And
how good was that goal, though?
It was a lovely hat-trick, very lovely hat-trick.
Well, I mean, it's incredible. Like, most players could never even dream of doing anything as good as that. But that first goal, when he hit it, and I think it come off the bar? It just flew straight in, hit the net, and you hear that. Boys, you all know this. Every football fan will know this. So that when the ball hits the net, it's funny.
Yeah. A split second between when the fans realise what's happened. There's a little moment of silence. And then the fans just go fucking mental. I mean, and obviously earlier on, you know, I had my player hater hat on saying of Arsenal get relegated. But it would be a travesty if the likes of Heung-min Son and Harry Kane left Spurs without a trophy to their name. And I feel like it's something that the club as an organisation, staff and record label owe the likes of Heung-min Son and Harry Kane and Hugo Lloris. And
Rick,
we owe these people so much, man.
Rick, if we beat Arsenal, or even if we draw against Arsenal and win against Everton, is it Everton our next game after that?
I think it's Bournemouth or Brighton. Brighton.
And then Everton at home. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
If we draw and win two of those games, you think are you beginning to think Premier League title's on?
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll certainly be up there. It will certainly set us in good stead coming into the break before the World Cup. And with... Yeah, I mean, like, Conte is built for winning championships. All his teams do. And it just feels like he is... Like, he is like... He understands the rhythm of the team and how we need to play. It shouldn't be all guns blazing in August because that's not when it's, that's not when the title's won. It's about being consistent, and it's about when you're playing badly, you're still picking up the points, which is exactly what we're doing. And then you start to build that momentum, and then the players start clicking and stuff. So yeah, I think I wouldn't say that I'm going to be like, we will win the title, but we're in with a shout. We're right in the mix. We're exactly where we need to be at this position. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Do you think, regardless of what happens this weekend, that we're still in the, that we are title challengers, right?
Yeah. The thing with Arsenal is that they're playing so well that anything less than a win is a tragedy for them. You know, the inquests come out. This player's not good enough. That player's not good enough. I mean, we lost to Lisbon, a game that I missed. And obviously, there was a really bad post-mortem for that game. But I feel that the way we are set up, the way we're playing as an outfit, I don't feel the defeat is, obviously on Twitter, you've got the culture wars and all that bollocks on Twitter. But I don't think as a fan base, we will crumble if we lose to Arsenal. I mean, I can't see us losing in the fashion that Nuno did last year. But I feel that there's something going on there. There's something cooking. I mean, the way that the new signings speak about Conte, and the way that the players who have been there for years speak about Conte, it feels that, you know, in the words of Alex, something's happening there.
Something is happening there.
Yeah, and I don't feel that a defeat on Saturday changes that.
It doesn't, but the defeat isn't going to come because...
No, of course not.
Because...
It's going to stomp them.
Well, I mean, like, obviously we can get beat, but this isn't... This isn't a normal Spurs team. It's not normal. It's not. This isn't like a team that you know, watching like fucking Harry Redknapp or even before that, Martin Jol, where he just felt like, oh, well, just maybe we'll turn up. That we can do something against them. We can. We will. We've got a question here from Grump and Tired. Grumped and tired. Why do cats come into the house and shit, even though you've let them out? He's just asking. Are you into cats?
No.
So I've got to say,
not really into cats. I've had some cats over the years. Their poos are the worst smelling things. They're so small that everything is so compact into this little. Tiny little parcel, and the smell, like when you'd come, I remember like the cat would be in like the litter tray and you'd come down to do your coffee in the morning, it's like in a punch in the fucking gut the smell, and you're like retching. It's like, yeah, fucking hell, man.
Yeah, they're fucking arseholes, mate. I felt like I used to like a cat, but I don't. I hate them. Like they stink.
They are trolls.
5:30 this morning, my cat came up to me. And this is a 12-year-old cat. And I've got no time for it. I really don't respect the cat. But he exists in the household. And he came up and he went, meow. I was like, well, what do you want? And he went, I somehow managed to translate it from cat to human. I need a shit. If you don't let me out, I'm going to fucking shit all over your clothes. And he's done it so many times. So many times. Like when I walk up and go, oh, what's that smell? And I look down at my... pile of washing and there's just fucking shit on top of it.
Oh my god.
Fuck cats, fundamentally.
I'd be throwing hands.
So the thing I respect most about you, T, is that you just don't like animals. Don't like them.
No. To be clear, I'm not into animal cruelty. I'm just
No one thought that.
We are an animal loving country and it's admirable. You know, one of the nice things about England, but it's just I didn't get the memo.
Got a final question here from Rosper. He says, Liz Truss, Priti Patel, Sophie Kornarkan.
Oh, that Twitter weirdo. Yeah.
I don't know who she is. Shag Mary Kill. I've got to say, what a thing for Priti Patel.
I know you have.
I wonder, it's a bunds, isn't it? It's a nyash.
No, the nash. I want her to like just sort of whisper really controversial conservative ideas into my ear while she pegs me.
Yeah.
Just, I think the poor should...
I think she's metaphorically doing that already, you know.
ASMR, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just... What does that mean to you? I don't know what that means. Sorry.
ASMR is like when.
Oh yeah, no, I know what that is.
Comforting noises.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She'd be like saying, "Yeah, you know, I want to deflate a dinghy with an entire family in it," and you're just like getting off on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So she's fucking me up the arse and going, "Gunboats, gunboats, gunboats." Mate, it would bring me to climax. It really would. I didn't understand things that had changed my perspective, but Prissy Patel, politically, I don't agree with her or any of her ideas at all. And I don't think she's a monster, but I just...
She is. She's a horrible person.
Right, okay. But if she was pegging you and talking about all the horrible things that she thinks is right, could that not get you off a little bit?
I think the pegging would be, like, suffice for me, really. Yeah.
But, you know what? I wanted to put her hands on my shoulders while she does it. a bit more purchase.
All right. We'll do. That'll do, boys. That'll do, boys. This has been the Fighting Cock Podcast. Subscribe and get involved with NordVPN. You can do that. NordVPN.com/Fighting Cock. And come to the social if you can. If you can get a ticket. The tickets are running dry, but if you can go to our pinned tweet on Twitter, and then you can get involved, and we'll see you on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. opens. There's going to be breakfast baps on service. If you want to eat something, then you can, and then we're going to watch Spurs demolish Arsenal. Like, not only demolish Arsenal, like Pretty Patel Arsenal.
Hands on them shoulders.
Yeah, just get absolutely like just get like dig down into like your chest and then thump at your bum. That's what's gonna happen to Arsenal. Anyway, cheers, boys.
Ciao.
Network.